Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 10 verses 16 to 18. John chapter 10 verses 16 to 18, and keep in mind in this passage, other sheep. Let's read John chapter 10 verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now here's another part of the statement that Jesus had made about being the Good Shepherd, which we studied yesterday. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and he does that because, first of all, it is God's command. It is God's command. Look at verse 18. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now look in John chapter 6 at verse 38. Because Jesus Christ said this when he was talking to them about being the bread of life. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. There you go. So it was the will of God. And actually, this decision was made by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world that Christ would come and die. Look in John chapter 14 at verse 31. John chapter 14, and look at verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. Where's he going? Well, he's going to die. And what does he say? That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. God commanded him to do it, and he did it. And while he was in Gethsemane, he prayed and he asked for God to change the deal if he could. But then he said, not my will, but thy will. So first of all, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep because it was God's command. But secondly, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep because it was Jesus' desire. He said here, no man taketh it from me, in verse 18, I lay it down of myself. I lay it down of myself. Look in John chapter 2, verse 19. John chapter 2, and look at verse 19. Verse 18 was the lead-in. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he was speaking about his body. He spake to them of the body of his temple. But it was Jesus' desire to do this. So with God commanding it, and Jesus Christ desiring it, no man was able to take it away from him. Not even Pilate. Look in John chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. Jesus wouldn't answer Pilate, so Pilate said to him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. So see the deal? No man, therefore, could take it away from him. No man, not the Pharisees, not Pilate, not even the devil. Jesus had to willingly offer himself as a willing sacrifice before God, before anybody who had a part in his crucifixion could accomplish anything toward the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I lay it down, he said, that I might take it up again. Now, this principle of willingly offering himself became a principle for his sheep. Notice what happened with Jesus' disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So you see then, Jesus Christ willingly offered his life, and then he said to his disciples, lose your life. Lose your life for my sake, and in so doing you will find it. Now, we know that Jesus Christ was well rewarded because God exalted him for laying down his life. And he'll do the same thing to you. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And notice this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you're to present your body a living sacrifice. That's what Jesus Christ did. He willingly offered himself to God. The principle is good for us, see. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you'll never find the perfect will of God if you're always living for yourself. You must offer yourself, your body, a living sacrifice. And as Jesus Christ was exalted by God Almighty, because he had sacrificed himself, likewise you and I will be exalted if we will humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So the principle is good. In other words, if you lose your life, you'll find it, because what you really wanted, you cannot have until you lose your life. So it was God's command that the good shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep. It was Jesus' desire, and that it became a pattern. It became a pattern for the Christians, for us, for his sheep. Now, his death, his laying down of his life, was for every man. Look in Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2:9. I know there are people that would lead you to believe that his atonement was a limited atonement, that he only died for a certain group of people. But in fact, he died for every man. Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And that's what he did. So then when Jesus Christ speaks of these other sheep, it's not the whole world that eventually receives him. He died for the sins of the whole world. He died and tasted death for every man, but not every man will receive him. Only those who will hear his voice, only those who will respond to the preaching of the words of God. Now, these are the other sheep, and these other sheep, since he tasted death for every man, that's what he laid his life down for, these other sheep include us. Notice what he said in verse John chapter 10, verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Okay, then a fold, if you just look the word up in the dictionary, it's got a lot of definitions, but as a noun, and usually in what's the second definition of it, it is a fold. A fold is a flock of sheep. That's what these guys are. It's what he's been talking about the whole way. That are not of this fold. So then they are from a different group. They are from a different flock. These other sheep. They're from an other flock or another group besides Israel. Then this will be Gentiles. Look in John chapter 11, verse 52. John chapter 11, verse 52. And not for that, this was Caiaphas, and he was prophesying. He didn't know he was prophesying. But he was setting it up for Jesus Christ to be killed. He said, in verse 50, he said, "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man," that's Jesus Christ, "should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he not of himself. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Well, there's the other flock. And the Jews realized that he had another flock at the council that they held in Acts chapter 15. Now, this saved Jews. They were having a lot of trouble with the Gentiles getting saved and didn't really know what to do with them, so they had this council to make a decision. In Acts chapter 15, verse 13, watch this. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon," or Simeon, "hath declared," that's Peter, "how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called," there's the other flock, saith the Lord, "who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." And then they give a sentence. So this other flock then is going to be not from this fold. It's going to be from a different fold. It'll include Gentiles. Now, Paul dealt thoroughly with this Gentile flock in Romans chapter 15, verses 8 to 12. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 to 12. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." So this other flock then picks up the Gentiles. So therefore, the other sheep include us. They include us. Now, how did we get included in the flock? How did we get brought in as other sheep that were not of this fold? Well, according to verse 16, "them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." The way we brought in or got taken into the flock is we heard his voice. Look in Romans chapter 10, and look at verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 10, look at verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, Have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now notice this. Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did it get out there? Their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. The context of that was preaching. So, we heard his voice, but somebody would say, you mean God spoke audibly to you and said, you're of my flock? No, it's not like that at all. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and look at verse 1. Some people you've heard or read about have professed to hear the voice of God telling them to do certain things, directing them certain ways. I don't know about all that. I'll hear people say, the Lord led me to do this. They'll say, God told me to do this. And I don't know if they're listening to the voice of a familiar spirit, if they're communing with themselves and just having a discussion among themselves and this thing is going on in their head. I don't know if God's talking to them. But I will tell you this. While there may be some confusion what's really going on in the head of the person who says that God led me or God spoke to me, you can be sure that in the words of God, God will show you things and you will hear his voice. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now go all the way down to verse 21. Because during this night, the Lord reveals himself to to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, watch it, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now that is a certain revelation. That is his voice. Look at it in 1 Samuel chapter 15. In other words, if you want to know whether you are hearing the voice of God, spend plenty of time in the Bible and you'll hear his voice. Because he'll speak to you right out of the words. I say once again, that's why it is so critical that you have the right Bible. Now I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the King James Bible is the Word of God and that the Lord will speak to you through the words of this book. You won't hear an audible sound, but you will hear the voice of the Lord. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, so you see what we're talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So the words of the Lord have a voice. Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord. So if you want to hear the voice of the Lord God, the place to hear it is in the book. Now I know that these modern Bibles, I'll tell you what they're like. I'll tell you what they're like. You know how a radio is a receiver and somewhere there's a transmitter and you listen carefully? Well, there are two ways basically that you can get three ways that you can get a distorted sound in that radio. First of all, you can tune in but not tune in all the way. In other words, these old rotary dial radios that we used to tune, you'd tune them close to the station, and you'd get a real fuzzy, distorted sound. That's because you didn't have it fine-tuned to the station, and it distorted the sound. So a King James Bible is a clear, 100% locked-on signal to God's voice. You get it right there, solid, clear, no distortion whatsoever. All right, a modern translation is distorted because it's not locked on to the voice of God. It's off. There's the voice of men intermingled there. And so you're not fine-tuned in. The second way to get a distorted sound is to have a heavy impulse of electricity, like a motor or a high wire, and it'll cause a buzz. and distort the voice that's coming through there. Well, that'll be the distortion that's provided by the devil, see. He'll get in there and confuse the sound of the thing. So even with a King James Bible, somebody can be distorted with false doctrine and mess up the voice of the Lord. And then the third way is just to get out of range of the signal. And when you break your fellowship with the Lord God, or if you're not saved and you come to the Bible, it's going to be distorted because you are too far away from God. That's a picture of that. I realize that he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee when you get saved, but you really do fuzz up the air by putting a lot of distance between you and the Lord. All right, so the voice of God is found in the book. Don't be getting all fuzzy-duddied up and getting in this prayer and fasting for a long time. Say, I want to hear God talk to me. If you don't hear him talk to you out of the words of the book that he wrote, don't expect to hear him talk to you in some audible voice. That'll be something else, but not him. All right, so first of all, the other sheep include us. We heard his voice. That's how we got in the flock. And then when we got into the flock, we became one fold. When we got into the flock, we became one fold. Look again at verse 16 in John chapter 10. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold. We became one fold with the Jews. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. And you know, that created lots of problems for the Jews when the Gentiles first started getting saved. But they got over it, mostly. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 14. For he, that's Jesus Christ in verse 13, he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of one, or twain, excuse me, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we became one fold with them. And that's a wonderful thing. That gives us a joint heirship. You know, that's why this nonsense about the church replacing Israel is such a silly thing. We became one fold. Eventually he's going to take this fold out of the earth at the rapture, and Israel's still going to be around. They were still around even after there was a church. Why would you say that God would replace Israel with the church? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 32. The church does not replace Israel. We just become members of that flock of saved sheep. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, they're still there, nor to the Gentiles, and then the third group, nor to the church of God. So there is a one fold. Once we're all in the church of God, Jew and Gentile, there's neither Greek nor Gentile there. Excuse me, neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. We're one fold, and therefore, as the text says in John chapter 10, verse 16, we have one shepherd. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and watch it, one shepherd. Colossians 1:18. Look at Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18 says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's our shepherd. Now let's go over there to 1 Peter chapter 5. We looked at this when we looked at the section on the good shepherd. And notice this thing again. God will give you under-shepherds, that's what we call them, as pastors and teachers, to feed the flock of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, they're called elders. Verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, and watch it. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So this other flock has one shepherd, and he is called the chief shepherd. And there you go. So these other sheep that he has to bring into the fold are Gentiles that get saved after his death, burial, and resurrection. We saw ample evidence in Paul quoting the Old Testament that Gentiles would come into the fold. They get into the fold by hearing his voice. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the words of God. But you'd have to believe him and trust him and accept him as your shepherd and your savior. Then you go into the flock. And when you do, you become one flock with every other saved man that ever came into the flock. And you have one shepherd, and that shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you in that flock? I don't know how many people that listen to Christian radio are lost, but I do know of several men who listened to Christian radio that were lost, who, because of what they heard, got saved. You may be one of those men. You might not yet have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He may not be your shepherd. You may not be one flock with those that are saved. Would you like to be? You say, you better believe I would. I want to be the Lord's sheep. I want to be a sheep with a shepherd. Well, then you're going to have to trust him as your Savior. How's that? Well, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're going to have to recognize what you've been doing up to now is wrong. And you're going to have to recognize that he's right. And then you're going to have to come to him and receive him as your Savior, as your shepherd, as your Lord. You're going to have to receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then when you do that, the best way you know how, you'll be his sheep.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.